understand the man. What more could you ask for? We talking building businesses and entrepreneurs. Next level, elevating, steady working it. Featuring guests, sharing their products and services. But stand the man podcast. Let's get down to business, make it happen like that. But stand the man podcast. Let's get down to business, make it happen like that. Stand the man, let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Stan the Man podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Stan the Man. And today we're excited and happy to have back with us a lady that now she's the director of nursing of Prescribed Pediatric Extended Care in Jackson, Alabama. Her name, of course, is the one and the only Greta Chin.
Hey, how you doing, Stan?
Good. How you doing? It's great to have you back on the podcast. And now, this time, congratulations again, because, of course, I congratulated you before, but now you are the director of nursing. How about that?
That's good. It's a big change for me. I'm in an office now and not so much by the bedside, so I'm liking it. It's a welcome change.
Well, it's really interesting because as you, I'm not going to bore you with my resume and what I've done, but I've learned that once you when you get promoted, then it's like the bar get raised. But the cool thing is you have the ability sometimes to change policy, create policy. And I'm thinking now that you're probably a little more in connection with the CDC, the state, the federal government, and the city, because now there's all these different regulations, especially during these times of COVID.
Right. With our facility, we definitely did have some requirements placed on our students and employees coming in. Most of them had required mandatory testing to return back after we left from the holiday break. So for Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving and after Christmas, in order to return to the facility, the students and staff had to present a negative COVID swab. And a lot of people had gotten sick and were retesting because they felt better, but they still had the COVID vaccine in them. The COVID virus in them. So when they tested, they continued to test positive.
Interesting. So
we had a lot of students as well as staff who couldn't come back right away because they were still testing positive for COVID. And so the CDC's recommendation is that you stay home and in quarantine for 5 days after you are tested, and then you can return to work wearing masks while in public and around other people. Okay. But my job would not allow that. They basically went against what the CDC said and requested that you not return unless you were completely COVID free.
Oh.
So we have a difference between the CDC guidelines and what the company policy is here at my job.
Well, that's really interesting because I know certain places are following the CDC guidelines and then other places are being a little extra careful. I think that makes it a challenge for those that you want to come back and they pretty much have to, do what the company is holding the line on.
Yeah, that's true. And then like in the case of new employees, they don't receive pay for their COVID days after 5 days of pay. So say for instance, you've had COVID and it's been 8 work days. 3 of your work days are going to be unpaid days if you don't have any time like vacation or sick time accrued. And like me, I'm a new employee at my company. So they pay for the first 5 days that I worked, but then there were days that weren't covered. So it turns into a new dilemma because you have your family to look after and you still have to try to make a living and you're forced to sit out from work with no compensation at some point. So it turns into a, a policy thing where you're just wondering, is the job being too careful because I need to come back to work and I know they need me there. So I guess there a lot of the companies are erring on the side of caution and just saying, we'd rather you just stay out until you're completely free of the virus. So
that's really interesting because here in California, I know You're in, if I remember correctly, Jackson, Alabama. Here in California, the state is looking into maybe extending some type of benefits for those that are out. And I hope that states begin to do that. But I know one thing I've learned in management, sometimes it becomes political and sometimes it does come down to money. So I'm hoping that they will do something to help everyone out because, you know, in what was it? In 2020, a lot of people lost their jobs, me included, because, you know, and understandably, a lot of companies didn't have anybody work, didn't have customers coming in. So, you know, unlike myself, I mean, I was able to, you know, I have experience, I was able to find something, but there's still a lot of people that haven't gone back to their jobs, even though unemployment is has been reduced a little bit. And there's a lot of, I'm sure, like in Jackson, Alabama, like in California, there's a lot of businesses that did not come back. I mean, there's not a lot being said about it. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, how did it come about that you were able to get the position of director of nursing?
I'm in Mississippi, too, by the way. Just
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Is it,
we're
it, so
in
it's,
the same little corner. So.
All right. So is it, just so I'm understanding, so it's Jackson, Mississippi?
That's correct.
Okay, perfect. All right. Thanks for that correction. I do appreciate it. Continue with how you got the position of director of nursing.
Where I'm working now is a company that I worked for in the past as a staff nurse. Their director of nursing at the time was looking for a change of employment and they needed someone to fill in. So I'm assuming that I made a good enough impression while I was here the year and a half that I worked here. They called me and asked me if I would be interested in coming back. They knew I had a bachelor's degree in nursing and I had the experience at the facility to know how to handle the day-to-day. And so I was actually invited to come and apply for the position and got it after my first interview.
Well, that's always great when someone recognizes the great work that you're doing and the high character that you have. Because I have found out when someone wants you to work for them, it's not only your work ethic, but also that usually means that you have good character. I was going to ask you, is there anything that you can say to, you know, I know vaccination is, getting vaccinated is, to me, I think it's a good thing that some folks are, you know, choosing not to, but is there anything else that you would recommend that folks could do proactively before and even after they get vaccinated to help protect them from minimizing their chances of getting the virus?
Well, one thing I can say is be specific in the type of mask that you're getting and wearing. The cloth mask that they offer at the hospital, the little paper mask, one layer, they're not sufficient for protecting against the Omicron variant.
Okay.
We have to wear two masks if we want the type of filtration protection that's needed to protect against the Omicron variant. Or an N95 mask. Those are the best ones. Those are the ones that the CDC is recommending that all people wear at this time, or double mask. And wash your hands. Carry hand sanitizer with you. Keep your hands clean. I don't know where I was exposed to COVID. I had masks on everywhere I went. I'm very diligent about my hand washing, but I was out of town visiting. And it's very possible that somewhere in my commute to where I was, that I was exposed to it when I was eating or drinking somewhere. And we have to be more mindful about when we're going out. I know we like to enjoy eating at restaurants and going to different events, but every time you take your mask off to eat while you're out, you're exposed to COVID germs. Every time you go somewhere and have a sip of a beverage at a bar, you're exposing yourself to COVID. So we just have to be really careful about what we're intentionally doing with protecting ourselves, getting the proper equipment, keeping hand sanitizer on, and minimizing our exposure to the outside and other people. It's very important.
Definitely do appreciate that great advice. I think that I heard here recently that I believe that the federal government, I think they're sending out they're going to be sending out and making available some of the N95 masks for free. Have you heard anything about that?
I have heard about that. They're also sending out up to 4 COVID tests, home tests, to each individual that registers. They have a website through the CDC's website that takes you to a link that allows you to enter your household address, and you can get up to 4 home COVID tests and whatever available supply that they're going to provide to each individual household of N95 masks. So they're really going out of their way to try to help us test for it, protect ourselves against it. And now we just have to do the extra and making sure that we're not putting ourselves in unnecessary exposure by going out in large crowds and not wearing our masks and not being mindful of hand washing.
Right. That's definitely good advice. I think that actually I ordered for myself the mask and the test, because I'm thinking, you know, for free, it's kind of hard to pass up on that. The you know, the other thing that I was going to ask you was that you know, last time we talked about that you had products that you were selling as well. I was wondering, is that something that you're still doing?
My mother was making the masks the last time we were doing it, but she took ill a little while this summer, and she's really backed away from doing her seamstress work, and okay, we haven't picked it up this season, but I still have quite a few masks from the last season. So when I see people who are looking for them, I always offer them of the stock that I still have remaining. But if you do choose to use a homemade cloth mask, that's an excellent choice as well. However, you just need to make sure you're either double masking or getting those filters to put inside of it. Because I was of the mind that the cloth would be more protective than the paper masks, but the way that the fabrics are woven, it allows for the virus to be able to slip in between the weave. So you still have to be careful when using home masks and make sure they're being washed regularly.
Definitely great advice. I was going to ask you, with the what are some of the challenges that you're facing at your facility? Actually, there's 2 facilities I understand that you manage. What are some of the challenges that you're, are there any new other challenges that you haven't mentioned that you're up against on a day-to-day basis?
Well, we have some children who have been out of the facility because they were exposed to or had COVID, and their families just don't want to go and have them retested. So they're still required before they can return back to have a negative COVID swab, but their parents are very sensitive about having them swabbed. And also with so many different issues of the population of the children I have, some of them are immunocompromised. They would be the better candidates for the vaccine, but the parents don't agree with it. And so they're not vaccinating the children. So our biggest thing is trying to keep our own exposure down. When you have a family who doesn't believe in it, that may or may not be sick, then everyone in the household gets sick, and they may send their child to the center after they've been exposed. And then we're looking at the spread of exposure here now from the home setting. So we're just trying to be extra diligent in making sure that we require testing. We cannot require that somebody have a vaccine to come here, specifically a COVID vaccine. But at a lot of, like in this position, you have to have a flu shot. You have to be screened for tuberculosis. So those are not optional. And right, a lot of jobs are like that. And so I wish that more people can think of the COVID vaccine in that way, that it's just a protective measure to help keep the public from rapidly spreading this disorder like they have been in the beginning. And we really just would like to start advocating more for having children tested and to have the children vaccinated to protect them as well, because many kids have been hospitalized this time. The Omicron variant is a little different in how it presents and how severe it is. And so we're just trying to stress for everyone who can, and every child that's allowed to have them vaccinated as well, because they're suffering.
Right. You know, recently, I'm sure that you've heard the vaccinations now, if I heard it correctly, are now actually available for kids under 5, correct?
Well, up to age 5 to 11.
Okay. All right.
5-year-olds and under still are not approved to get the vaccine yet. But if your child is kindergarten, preschool age, 5 years and up, they can be vaccinated. And we really stress that you get your children vaccinated.
Well, I appreciate you correcting me on that. I was going to actually also ask on the test that you're doing, is it categorized as a rapid test, or how quickly can a person get the results back in Jackson, Mississippi?
Well, the problem we've had is with the availability of testing centers. They're overwhelmed with patients being tested for COVID. And so it has to be, in order for us to return to work here, it has to be a rapid swab. However, some facilities are requesting a PCR, which is the same test that you take in order to travel out of the country. So it just really depends on what's required of you. Here you can take a rapid test, and it's offered at quite a few places where people don't have to pay. But a lot of people are resorting to making appointments with their doctors or local clinics and paying the fee to have the tests run, which can be upwards of $50 to $200, just how much I've seen the price vary from.
Okay. All right. So, interesting. Also, I heard the president announce that in the United States, we're up to 70% of us have been vaccinated, which means there's still a whole lot of people that need to get vaccinated. And some experts are speculating that if we can get over 90% vaccinated, maybe by sometime next year, that this thing will begin to calm down, and that would be a great thing for all of us. I don't know about you, but I kind of think that this mask thing is probably going to be around for a long time. I know in some foreign countries that was a regular thing that some of them were already doing. I know for some it was smog. Some of them were doing it to protect from disease. And I remember years ago when people were Michael Jackson was wearing one, and people thought it was unusual. Now it's like it's a daily part of our lives.
It is. And it has changed in that way. And I agree with you that it'll probably be around for a while. But like you said, until we can turn the tide with the vaccination rates, it's just like flu or polio, or think of these other outbreaks we've had in the United States that really made an impact on the population. It wasn't until people in large numbers in mass were getting vaccinated, and it took almost half of a generation before you see a change in the rates of people having that. Now the percentage of people born that have polio or get polio is very, very limited. Right. A lot of those past disorders that we vaccinated against with this movement of the anti-vaxxers are starting to recur. So going out of your way to avoid these protective measures, it does put the entire population at risk. And there, I know a lot of people feel like, well, you can catch the virus, whether you're vaccinated or not. That's true. But it makes it a lot less severe when you do get it. And it makes it a lot less likely that you'll spread it to other people when you do get it. But, we have to just get on the train, do the things, even though we don't want to do the things, because we've been doing the things forever.
Right.
But if I'm looking at the CDC's website, and as of January 31st, there's been over 5 million vaccines rolled out in Mississippi, and there's been like 3 million that have been administered, 3.7 million. So we still have a ways to go. There's a lot of vaccines still left that needs people to get it. It's available to them, but they just haven't made the step to try to get it. So whatever we can do to encourage people to get themselves vaccinated and protect themselves is going to be the best way that we can try to reverse this uphill trend that we've been having with the COVID vaccine and the variants.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned polio, and I remember dating myself a little bit, but I remember, and of course, anyone that studies history, like I know that you have, there was a time when polio was killing a whole lot of people. And then when they started the vaccines, it's those numbers, you know, more people were not getting in and surviving. So I think the, you know, the same principle would apply with vaccines. And I'm still amazed at how I know that the leadership in the federal government, they fast tracked the vaccine so they could come out sooner than what we expected. And we live in a world of great technology where they're able to come up with this, which is great. The last thing I was going to ask you is this. I mean, you're a busy woman, and I was glad to see that you were able to, you know, get out of town for a little bit and have a little bit of a break. And I was wondering, as a mom and a wife, how do you balance have work life and balance with all of that?
I have a pretty good team of people who help me. That's the first thing to say. My husband is always home. Usually he doesn't travel as much due to his job requirements. He has to be local a lot more than I do.
Okay.
So we kind of balance the children. My mother is still living. His mother is still living, and they're both very hands-on with the kids.
Good.
And then he has a large family here in Jackson. My family is mostly in California. I have like my mom, my dad, and my aunt that live here, and an uncle. But my brothers and sisters, my nieces and nephews, they're all in California. So I utilize his family because they're really hands-on with all the children in their family. And they'll keep them for a couple of days. Somebody will pick them up, drop one of the babies off at ballet or tumble class. And, you know, we just work together to try to make sure everybody's getting done what needs to be done. They're an excellent group of people, and they really help me out a lot.
Well, that's great, because I know that the, you know, growing up, when you can have, I know for the girls, when they can have members of the family around them, that experience is just an amazing experience when, you know, they can experience what's going on with the rest of the family.
Right. But that's the one of the things that I had a little bit of a trouble with at the same time. When I was sick with COVID, we had other family members that got sick as well.
Oh. And
some of the people that we usually rely on weren't able to help.
Oh.
So we just trying to balance with everybody being involved with each other and still trying to stay in our own homes, but still interact and do the things that we've pre-set up before this started. It's just been a little bit harder to balance.
All right. Well, we definitely do thank you for all of your time today. Of course, we do wish your family the absolute best. And for any other leaders in the health industry that, you know, might want to get some insights from you, what would be the best way for them to contact you?
They can reach me on my Facebook page. I don't have a personal health page, but on my Facebook page, you can reach out to me there via DM or anything like that with any questions. My name there is Greta Chin on Facebook, and you can look me up if you need to.
All right, fantastic. Well, it's been an absolute joy and a pleasure to have you here. And I'll leave you with this. I was going to be talking also soon to a guy that I know he's a doctor. He's an anesthesiologist. I was going to have him on the podcast, and he actually shared with me, of course, this is here in California. He said, "Stan, for the next 2 months, I'm going to be really, really busy, so I'll have to postpone it." So we're still having a lot of folks and challenges that are having to, you know, have surgery and things, because, of course, as you know, as your director, there's already the regular patient load, which sometimes can be high. But now with COVID, it makes things so much different.
Yeah, it's a lot more complex. A pediatric extended daycare facility like I work in is really a place where children with special needs can come during the day and have their medical needs attended to by nursing staff. So the blessing in what I do is that we are a resource for those families who are having trouble finding someone to keep their kids, or with transportation back and forth. We do offer those services. So we're trying to make it a little easier for families to be able to still have somewhere safe to send their children during this time.
Well, that's great. Greta, just definitely want to say keep up the great work, and we wish you, your family, your team, and your staff all the best.
Thank you so much, Sam. Same to you, and good luck with the podcast. I'll speak to you guys again soon.
Stand the Man Podcast with business and entrepreneurs.